Good morning. And welcome to worship here at Calvary. If you happen to be a first-time worshiper with us this morning, an especially warm welcome to you. It's a little chilly outside, right? Last Sunday, it got up to 90 degrees. I don't think it's going to get that warm today. Yeah. Well, it's good to be together this morning. We're praying for all the migratory waterfowl out there. I don't know if you heard gun shooting in the distance, but we pray for them. And we will worship today. Our theme for the fall here at Calvary is we can do more together. And we're wondering about the first church and how that first church found a common mission, a common vision together. And we're wondering about how it is that we be church today, together. And Nathan has a message for us today. How many of you have ever said something like this? Thank you very much, but I can do it all on my own. Huh? Raise your hand. You're lying in church if your hand is not up, right? We've all done that. But our faith has something to say about that, and we're going to talk about that today. A couple other things. If you look in your program or your bulletin, several announcements in there. Big thank you to all the men and the women, especially the women of the church who put together Hoostfest this weekend. How about a big round of applause for all of them? Thank you. Hoostfest is our annual fall festival, and it raises money for things like preschool scholarships, as well as Bible camp scholarships for students to attend Bible camp. So we're super thankful to all the women who put that together. There are a few items that are left on the table in the gathering area there, some fresh bread and craft items. If you'd like to purchase those, you can go ahead and do that. It's kind of a free will offering, I think, for those last gifts. A couple other things here. Some of you have been contacted about a Next Steps gathering. This is something kind of new here at Calvary. We are inviting folks who have been coming around Calvary for a while and are wondering about how do I get more engaged. We have lots of folks in that position. And so today, between services in the lounge, the Svea Lounge, we'll have a Next Steps gathering. And that's for folks who are just wondering, how do I take that next step to get a little more connected, a little bit more involved here at Calvary. So that'll be happening in the Svea Lounge. And so there'll be coffee and cookies and things served out in the gathering area for those of you that normally use the lounge to sit and chat after church. A couple other things real quick. We here at Calvary, we partner with an organization that for every check-in on Facebook, they make a significant donation. And in this month, for every 10 check-ins on Facebook, they actually pay for a day of school for a student in need in Haiti. So I would love if you are a person on Facebook to check in while you're here at Calvary. Help us do something really good. It's really easy. And then just two more announcements. Some of you know Joanna Green is a member of our staff here at Calvary. And she works with our kids and student ministry. And you may have noticed that she's been with child. And we are so excited for her. She gave birth to a little baby boy, Isaiah Miles Green, this week. And so we give thanks for Joanna. All right, one last announcement. Here at Calvary, one of the most important things that we do is try and get people connected. And there are many people in our congregation who are connected, and whether it be circles or small groups, we call all these small groups connect groups. And it's a group of about 8 to 12 people who commit to gathering together regularly to share life and to share faith. We've got probably 60-plus small groups that meet regularly. And so we want to invite you as we dive into the fall to consider, if you're not already in a small group here at Calvary, to consider forming a connect group. And we've got a little video here we're going to show that talks about that.
Connect group for us looks like a bunch of our neighbors really getting together once or twice a month. Usually we choose to have a meal together and it rotates between whose house it's at, but really it's just hanging out.
Typically we sit down and sometimes we follow a video that is on there. Sometimes there's a print up that whoever's leading that week brings, and we kind of just go through and discuss all of the different things that are on either the video. Sometimes we go back to the previous week's sermon, we'll discuss that and kind of how we feel about that.
I just said, Yes, and I didn't even think about it.
Or ask if I wanted to do it either.
But I just knew that we needed it.
Going into the first Connect group, I was definitely really reluctant to go. You know, I was a little nervous. It's not something that I was scared of. Obviously, it was, you know, people from the church that I knew or at least had acquaintances with. So it was like, in my mind, it was an opportunity for us to get together, just adults, and hang out and kind of discuss some things that, for me, wasn't something that I'd discussed before.
We were coming to Calvary and we were getting a great message at church on Sundays, personally and as a couple growing in our faith. So getting the opportunity to do that with people that we were saying hello to but didn't really like know is something that Connect Group has made just easier, and also just made when we arrive at church just having a deeper connection with people. Connect Group has become a priority for us because it's just something that we just need to make it happen. So with hockey schedules and school and work and all the stuff, we just put it on the calendar, and it's like that yearly doctor's appointment that you just don't cancel.
The Connect groups have been great for our family, and we've really enjoyed it. Regardless of where you're at in life or in your faith, I really encourage you to take a look at Connect groups this fall.
How about a round of applause for Matt and Sam on there? That's great. That's great. We'd love for you to consider getting involved in a Connect group. There are some instructions in the bulletin if you'd like to hear more information about that. All right. As we dive into worship today, I'm going to invite you to please stand, greet your neighbor with your name, a handshake, a sign of God's peace, God's love. We gather together today in the name in which we live, the name in which we baptize, the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please join me in our confession and forgiveness this morning. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And together we confess. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Friends, God, who was rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, every one of your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Kyrie eleison, in a world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. For the peace in the world, for the health of the church, for the unity of all. For this holy house, for all who worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day. That we may live out your impassioned response to the hungry and the poor. That we may live out truth and justice and grace. Let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
For peace in our hearts, for peace in our homes, for friends and family. For life and for love, for our work and our play, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the word, that you nourish our souls with your body and blood, let us pray to the Lord.
Let us pray to the Lord. Kyrie eleison, on our world and on our way. Kyrie eleison, every day.
I invite you to join me in our prayer of the day as found on the screen. Together we pray. God, so much divides your people today. Politics, wealth, class, race. Some 2,000 years ago, your people found unity in something new. The church, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, people with differing politics, people who despised one another. all found unity as the church. They realized they could do more together, and together they experienced more peace, hope, and joy. God, remind us that we too can do more together. Amen. And you may be seated as we hear our psalm for today.
Good morning. We will read Psalm 123 responsively. I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven.
As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy.
Have mercy on us, Lord. Have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt.
We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud.
Children, come up for the children's sermon. Come on up, kids. You know what this is?
Paddle.
A paddle. What do you use a paddle for? A canoe. I worked at a canoe base way back when I was in high school, and I took many, many canoe trips with youth groups. So this is a favorite paddle of mine. It was my own personal paddle. Wow. Well, you know something about paddling a canoe? What if I was in a canoe all by myself in the back of the canoe, and I just paddled on this side all the time? I just paddled and paddled. What happened to the canoe? I would go in circles, wouldn't I? What do I need if I want to go straight? What would I need?
You got to go on this side.
But what if I wanted to stay on this side? What do I need? I need somebody else, right? If I had somebody else canoeing or paddling with me, then what can we do?
Go straight.
So what is better? Is it better for me to do it all by myself, or is it better for me to do it with somebody else?
Somebody else.
You know, that's one of the things we're going to talk about today, is that a lot of people think, I'm going to do it all by myself. I'm going to talk about that in my message today. And you know what? There's some people here, even maybe your parents, that are thinking, I need to do it all by myself. And what happens when they do it all by themselves? They go in circles, right? There are a lot of people in our world today that are going in circles because they don't want to have anybody else help them. And that happens in every aspect of life. And when you kids, as you grow up, you know, it's good to ask for help, isn't it? When you're in school, you know, ask your teacher for help, ask another student for help, ask your parents for help. It's really important. And it's important for your parents to say, I need some help. Maybe I need some help parenting. Maybe I need some help with this project. It's always good to ask other people for help because what? Together, we can do so much better than simply by myself, right? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Hans has some suckers for you, so have a great day. Good to see all of you. Children were just toddlers, and oftentimes they would blurt out when Kim and I would try to help them with something, they would say, Yelf. Do it. Yelf. Maybe you remember when your kids are young, I can't even say the word S, but I'm going to do it. Yelf. Well, needless to say, there is something innate in each and every one of us from birth to try to figure out and try to do things ourselves. And now, of course, that can be really a good thing, is that we need to learn to do some things in a self-sufficient way, like walk or tie our shoes or ride a bike or even get dressed and so forth. It is very important that each and every person learns how to do certain tasks by themselves. Yet as we get older, this quest for independence and doing things ourselves can sometimes cause a lot of problems in our lives. I remember before my junior year at Concordia, I was going to be moving into an off-campus apartment with three other guys. As we rented a U-Haul in St. Paul to bring some things up, many of you have gone through this process with your own kids or with yourself, we had to furnish an apartment, so we needed some things. So we were filling up a trailer in St. Paul with some furniture and things that we needed. One of the people in my roommate group was going to bring a couch, but somebody else was going to bring a kitchen table. I had to bring a bed. We had to bring a dresser. Needed some things for the kitchen. Needed some towels. There was just a lot of things, as you know, to try to set up an apartment by ourselves. Well, as we were packing the trailer, I don't know, my dad was helping me, and I don't know what happened. I still can't remember back. I'm not sure. But, of course, the fact that I was 19 or 20 years old didn't help very much at the time, and we all know what that's about. One of the realities was my stubbornness came to the forefront, and I didn't like something. I don't know what went wrong, but I yelled at my dad, and I said, "I don't need your help." I said, "I can do it all." Now, say it with me. I can do it myself. Okay, I can do it myself. So my father, in his wisdom, simply said, "Okay," and he just walked calmly back into the house by himself. However, as I started to load this trailer, things didn't always work out real well. I ran out of space really quickly. I wasn't able to get everything to fit very well, and the whole trailer really ended up looking like a mess. I kept trying, but to no avail. So finally, I went into the house. I found my dad. I apologized. I told him I was really, really sorry for getting angry. And then I asked him, "Will you please help me?" And he, in his very forgiving and kind way, came out to help me. And the greatest thing when I think back on that day, there were no lectures. There was no "I told you so's." He just simply started to help out and acted like nothing had even happened earlier that day. Well, the truth is, my dad had a lot of experience in this area. He loaded a lot of trailers in his lifetime. Even though he was a pastor then, he had grown up on a farm, and they knew a lot of things about those kinds of things. And so together with him, using his wisdom and my young adult strength at that time to be able to lift things or whatever else, we were able to load this trailer, and it was able to be very well organized. The obvious truth of that time, realizing that we can do so much more together. We can do so much more when we show up together, when we work together, when we support each other in our lives. Well, these weeks at Calvary, this is the theme of our messages, that we can do so much more together. And this morning, I want to talk about when we show up together. It's important for us as individuals, for our staff and our church leadership. It's so important for each and every one of us who is involved in this congregation. Now, in Nehemiah, in the Old Testament, we read how the children of Israel, the people of that community, they're invited to rebuild the town wall together. And to do this unbelievably major task, of course, it was so much better when it was done as a whole community, when people showed up and when people worked together. And at one time, after one of the major battles, part of the walls, some of the different places was compromised. Some of the walls had fallen down. There were some gaps that was there. Nehemiah called some of the families in town, and he said, we need to come and patch those walls. We need to protect our sons and our daughters. We need everybody to help with this. And the people really showed up. And as they worked together, ultimately those gaps were filled in, and their families were kept safe. And then Nehemiah says that as a community, working together as a community, finding the joy in working in the community, that then they worshiped like they'd never worshiped before. The amazing thing is that when we're together with others, that also leads to amazing worship. Well, we're going to read today a little bit from that passage of Nehemiah, and it's up on the screen today, Nehemiah 6, 15 and 16. It says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul. Now, that's the Jewish religious calendar. It was right around August or September. But it says that the wall was completed in what? How many days? 52 days. When all the enemies heard this, now that was amazing, way beyond what anybody could ever imagine. 52 days. Nobody could even believe it. All the surrounding nations, because of that, what? They were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized this work had been done with the help of God. When they showed up in community with God's help, an amazing thing happened. 52 days they were able to do that, and the enemies were so scared, like, wow, there's tremendous power when people show up together. Now, it is true in life, in our homes, in our jobs, and as part of our church. We can do so much more when we show up and work together. Yet as obvious and as common sense as that might be, we often fail to do it. That old instinct and that old behavior from our childhood often comes roaring out. It comes roaring out where we say, do it myself. I want to do it myself. And in our independence, we often, you know, these are some of the justifications we often get. It's just easier if I do it myself. How many of you have said that? It's just easier if I just do it myself. You know, it's too hard to ask somebody else for help. You know, then I have to make some kind of effort to call them, or I got to talk to them or whatever. You know, so I think I'll just do it because it's just too hard to do that. You know, another person just doesn't understand how I think it should be done, so I'm afraid if I ask somebody else to help me, they're going to mess it up, totally mess it up. I had a woman that worked on my staff many years ago, and she really wanted to get people involved, but she had, you know, it had to be done this way, and she had this vision, and people knew that, and they wouldn't help her because they could never do it good enough, and she really didn't want to let any control go, and so she was always in struggles, you know, complaining that people just weren't willing to help her, but she wasn't willing to really let people do that. Some people are afraid that other people are going to mess it up. Yet if we be really honest, the main reason that we may end up doing things by ourselves is because we simply do not want to admit that we need help. And there's a lot of people, I just don't want to admit that I need help. I just don't want to admit that I don't know everything. I don't want people to know that I don't know how to do everything. I just don't want people to know that I'm not as self-sufficient as I want people to think that I am. Well, there's a Bible passage in 2 Corinthians, one of my very favorite passages in the Bible because it speaks to me every day when I think about it. But it also speaks to this issue. And it's where the Apostle Paul says that when we are weak, when we ask for help, when we rely on others, when we work together as a team, then we are strong. When we show up together, then we are strong. On the other hand, Paul says that when we are strong, when we think we can do it ourselves, when we don't ask anybody for help, when we rely only on ourselves, then Paul says, we are totally weak. That strong and that self-assured man or that strong or self-assured woman, as much as society often praises those people are really often the most weak people in our society today. For by ourselves, trying to do things by ourselves, we're simply flapping in the breeze. So we have that passage from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. We're going to look at that passage together. And Paul says these words, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you." For what?
My power is made perfect in weakness.
Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses, right? Gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Say it with me.
For when I am weak, then I'm strong.
Now, as a pastor through the years, I've seen this time and time again. That mother and father who's struggling raising their children and saying, "We can do it all ourselves. I don't need any advice. I don't need any help from anybody else." So many people think that. That person who faces an illness, maybe they face a problem in their marriage. Maybe they're facing some kind of a major struggle at their work. But they say, "I can do it all myself. I'm going to buck it up, and I'm just going to do it myself. I can face this issue. I can accomplish it myself." And that's also true in the church. The many people who say, "Well, I don't really need a small group. I know the person's on the screen today. They're people that maybe need that kind of stuff, but I don't need it. We can do our faith all by ourselves. I don't need a mentor. I don't need an accountability partner. We can just do it all by ourselves." And yet we can't, but that's a thinking many have. I know some pastors that I've worked with through the years that I've seen in areas, and they're overwhelmed in what's happening. There's a lot of challenges in the ministry, but they don't need anybody else's help. They're gonna do it all by themselves. And I've seen that with staff people and other people in congregations where, you know, I can just buck it up. I'm supposed to know those kinds of things. I went to seminary. I learned these things. But again, many are over, you know, they're drowning in what's happening. Or that volunteer or that chairperson of a committee or a group or a task team who's oftentimes too prideful to ask anyone for help. Needless to say, there are a lot of struggling and weak people in our world today. For it is only when we show up and we work together, it is only as you rely on me and I rely on you, only as we bring our varied gifts, our varied ideas, our varied ways of looking at things, it is only then that we are truly strong. Now, that does mean that we need to listen to each other, which is not a great value in our society today. It does mean that we probably need to compromise, which is also something we don't hear a lot about. It also needs to mean that we need to admit that we aren't perfect or that we don't always do everything well. And I know that's not the example we see in Washington, it's not the example we see in politics today, and it's not the example we see in the lives of many, many people. Yet I believe the Bible is right. I believe that God is right, that we can do so much more when we show up together, when we work together. Many years ago, about almost 20 years ago or whatever else, when I was senior pastor at Shepherd of the Hills in Shoreview, we did two major $2.5 million building projects. There was been there about 8 years. We did one, and then about 8 years later, we did another one. Our congregation was growing fast. We had an excellent staff with an amazing focus on Jesus and on his mission for him, and we were totally out of space. And as we contemplated this first major building addition, mainly a new sanctuary that we needed to do, many people thought it was impossible. They thought there's no possible way we could ever do something like that. Nothing like that had ever been done. And me as a pastor, we had done one when I was in Litchfield as a pastor. We'd done a building, but man, this was way beyond what I ever thought could ever happen. Yet the reality was that when people showed up together, when we had a building task group that had all kinds of expertise and they knew things that I had no clue about of how those kinds of things, we had a finance group that had, you know, they knew numbers backwards and forwards, and man, they had tremendous gifts. And we had people that were willing to be on this task group and that task group. And then when the congregation showed up together and when they said, "We're going to pledge and we're going to give to make that happen," it was amazing how this new resource came into being. But the amazing thing is that when we showed up together in our mission together, is that things happened way more than we could ever imagine. We doubled as a congregation in our worship size. We reached way more people for Jesus. It was amazing what we were able to do. We always said the goal was never a facility. The goal is the mission beyond the facility. But together with people committed to say, let's be more in this community, it's amazing what happened. And people were cared for. The seniors were more cared for because we had more lay ministries, our Stephen ministry program, our Love Your Neighbor ministry, a lot of lay caring ministries that were going on. There were more opportunities for youth. There were a lot of things. And when we did another expansion some 8 years later, people said, oh, there's no problem. We can do things in this congregation. We know what we can accomplish because when we show up together, it doesn't rely just on me or just on the pastor or just on these people. We can do so much more together. It's amazing what can happen when people get behind something, when people look at the vision, and when we work together as a team. Because alone, myself, or as a few people, it always looks way beyond what's even possible. But with God's help working in us, it's amazing what we can do. So how about you today? Are you still trying to do a lot of things in your life by yourself? Are you still saying, I think I have to do this all by myself? Is your vision limited because you're only relying on you, or you're only relying on your thinking? Remember always that we can do so much more in every aspect of life if we show up together. For when we need each other, when we truly rely on each other, then we are truly strong. We are truly strong in Christ's love and in his mission. Would you please pray with me? Loving God, you give us so many examples through the years of how it's so much better if we work together with other people. That's why you gave us a community. That's why you gave us a faith community. That's why you gave us friends and other people around us. Lord, teach us each day how much better life is when we work together, when we show up, and when we continue to work to fulfill your mission in our lives. We just pray all this in Jesus' name, and let all God's people say, Amen.
I invite you now to stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as found on the screen. Together we confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We now offer prayers for our church, for our community, for our world. At the end of each prayer petition, I'll say the words, Lord, in your mercy, and if you would respond with, hear our prayer. And together we pray. Loving God, we confess that we often want to do things by ourselves, that we are often too stubborn or afraid to ask for help. Loving God, help each of us to know that we are always strongest and at our best when we show up and we work together with others. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Jesus, you showed us by your example of using your disciples and followers that working together in community is what your church is all about. And so, loving Jesus, strengthen our community at Calvary through your Holy Spirit so that even greater and more amazing mission may be accomplished as we share your love throughout this area and throughout our world. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross to take away our sins, for offering us each day your forgiveness, freedom from the chains of sin, and new life. Loving Jesus, we repent and we are sorry for all the times we go against you and your word and live mostly for ourselves. Create in us a clean and forgiving heart where our whole being is free and filled with your joy, your love, and peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, Holy Spirit, your word of truth tells us that like a body needs all of its parts working in sync together, in the same way your church is a body which needs all its parts and members working together as one to fulfill your mission. Holy Spirit, unite each of us as one in your love and your grace so we can do and accomplish so much more in your kingdom together. We pray this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we collect our morning offering. Thank you for your generosity that allows us to do all the things that we do here at the church. And while we collect our offering, the Calvary Choir is going to share a musical number.
Thank you.
Man, are we in a Baptist church? Holy cow. That was kind of fun. Awesome. I don't even know what to do now. Holy cow, why don't you stand? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, we remember that he took bread. And after giving thanks, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to every one of his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after the meal, he took the cup. And after giving thanks for it, he blessed it also. He gave it to every one of those disciples to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is given for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this also in remembrance of me." And together we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And you may be seated. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace both now and forever. Amen. And now as you leave this place, wherever it is that you go from here and whatever it is that you do this week, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Folks, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.